Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Welcome to the broadcast, everybody. Good to have you with us. We appreciate you joining us this Monday, August 19th, 2013. We appreciate you telling others about it. By the way, we've got a great Hot Topic segment later in the broadcast. We have as our special guest, Reed Smeda, President of Compliance Systems, CSI. He published an article recently in the July issue of the Mortgage Banking Magazine titled, Four Keys to a Successful Relationship with a CFPB. And I know a lot of you think that's not possible. How could they be doing that? Aren't those the big watchdogs? If you think that, you've got to tune into this broadcast. It's going to be really excellent to hear what Reed has to say. It's a great material, and I've had a chance to interview him before, and I guarantee you this is going to be a good interview. I also want to say a special thank you goes out to the listening, to those listening to the first time, and of course, we're always grateful for our regular listeners. I just ran an updated report and was surprised to learn that we've now had over 283,000 downloads of our broadcast. That is amazing. We have thousands of mortgage professionals tuning in each and every week to listen, learn, and digest all that's going on in the industry, and we appreciate you validating us and what we're doing. Another validation that's out there has been going on is when others start doing the same thing as you're doing. A guy by the name of Louis Amaya, who's someone I know and respect, started a radio broadcast called Mortgage Markets Today. And what he did, I got a lot of emails saying, hey, Lickin, it looks like you got competition. What's going on? And then that happened again when he partnered with the Five Star Conference. And I got to tell you, first of all, I know Louis. He does a great job. He covers another aspect of the market. It's capital markets. Is really what his focus is on his broadcast. It's a different format, but he's doing a good job. And I want everyone to know, all our listeners to know that, you know, go check out his broadcast. He's on Blog Talk as well. We actually had him as a guest on the radio program. But here's my whole attitude. We have all got to work together, and there's many opportunities for us to educate and inform the mortgage professionals that are willing to sit down and listen. And by the way, by listening to this broadcast, you self-select yourself as a serious mortgage professional, and because you want to grow. Anyway, also excited about the Five Star Conference. They've got an updated conference coming up in September, starting September 8th, going through the 10th in Dallas. Check it out. Go to fivestar.com. Great stuff. I want to thank our sponsor, United Guaranty, who is having their 50th anniversary. United Guarantee is thankful for all of its customers for helping their company reach this important and significant milestone after they started the company in 1963 with only three employees in downtown Greensboro, North Carolina. United Guaranty now employs over 1,000 professionals and support staff around its headquarters here across the country and literally around the world. Today, United Guaranty is a leader, industry leader with superior financial strength and solid capital position. And it looks like they're going to be celebrating another 100th anniversary if they keep going at the rate we are. If you want to learn more, go to their website, www.ugcorp.com, or go to the Lickin' on Lending website, click on their ad in the upper right-hand corner, and see the logo, the 50th anniversary logo. We want to then again say thank you to United Guaranty for being a sponsor and congratulate you on your 50-year anniversary. Joe Farr, let's get into what's going on in the markets today. There is the mortgage prices were down when you wrote your notes earlier. Any changes to that?
Yeah, they're down worse, unfortunately. We're down 17, 30 seconds on the day, and well, 16 now. And when I wrote my notes just an hour ago, we were only down 8 or 9. So, it's been a steady slide lower this morning on no news.
That's
just continuing
really
last week's
no
trend.
News.
No real news today, and yeah. Stocks are down a little bit as well, but certainly not as much in proportion to the way MBS prices are down. So, let's talk about last week because this is just more of it. You know, the last week there was no real good consensus in the economic news. It was mixed. It was unfortunately not bad enough, though, to change expectations for the Fed taper. jobless claims came in on Thursday, received a big reaction. The new claims were lower than expected, and quite frankly, they were pretty low in relation to the last few weeks. So MBS prices fell on that news because, as you will recall, the Fed's focused very heavily on jobs and lower jobless claims, lower unemployment rate, you know, more jobs is likely to cause the taper to occur. Mm-hmm. So also last week, early in the week, we got some encouraging news out of Europe and a little bit out of Japan to indicate that their economies were strengthening a bit, and that too was not so good for mortgage rates. U.S. retail sales were okay, and at this point, okay is bad because it needs to be bad in order for the Fed to not taper. It's a little odd conundrum there, but the jobless claims, other than the jobless claims last week, everything was kind of mixed. Quite frankly, it was just not a very good week. We lost a point and a quarter in price, which is equivalent to about 20 basis points in rate. The Dow fell. And, you know, when you see both stocks and bonds moving in sync like this, it has something to do with quantitative easing more often than not. Well, lately anyway. Let's talk about next or this week. We have the Fed minutes coming out. Now, in the past, I've told you how could anything new come from the Fed minutes, but they seem to, and it seems to be market moving, and we'll certainly be on the lookout for that at 2 o'clock Eastern time on Wednesday. Will they say anything about the taper? You know, there's been more of an expectation that certainly the minutes aren't going to reflect the taper, but there's expectation that it will happen in September, and as such, we'll be looking for any clues in the August minutes that will actually happen. So, in addition to the minutes next week, we have existing home sales. Consensus is calling for a pretty nice improvement over June. We'll see if that holds true, and if it does, that would be most of the loans that would be in the August or the July existing home sales would have come from contracts or locked loans after the big increase in rates. So it'll be interesting to see if that's true. And then jobless claims obviously will have some impact. And Friday, the new home sales will come out. So, you know, there's just not a lot that can happen between now and the September FOMC meeting to change expectations for the taper. There are really only a few events. The second quarter GDP first revision will happen on the 29th of this month, August nonfarm payrolls on the 6th of September, and then August retail sales on the 13th, and the Fed meetings the 17th. So unless some of those are really big misses, and or unless there's some geopolitical event that surprises all and puts a lot of uncertainty in the marketplace, there's a very high expectation for the taper to be announced in September.
Which will continue to put upward pressure on rates and downward pressure on prices. So we'll have to see. This is very fascinating. It's interesting times that we're in.
David, if you ask what's the actual announcement going to do to rates, we'd say we don't know. I mean, there is so much buildup of it, and it's such an unnatural event. There is very hard to figure out if when they actually announce it, it's going to be a good thing or a bad thing for mortgage rates.
Yeah, and is it already priced into the market? I mean, is the anticipation of a tapering, tapering of MBS securities already in the market? Therefore, you know, we're not going to have the big correction. So a lot of unknown. But, you know, it really goes to one point, Joe. If you don't have a service like MBS QuoteLine, you are really behind the eight ball. You got to get it because it's a very dynamic market. When interest rates rise, they rise what? Suddenly. You got to have that to protect your borrowers and to protect your pipeline, folks. Joe, appreciate you bringing the update. And for you, if you want to learn more about how to get signed up with MBS QuoteLine, stay tuned. We'll be right back after this brief break.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement? Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available? MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations. MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginny Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market,
whether you're in the office or on the road.
See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial.
MBSQuoteline.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
You know, I really like that music. We've had that music now for a long, long time, but that background music, when we come back, kind of just fires you up.
Love it.
Thank you for Andy Alvey putting that all together for us. Appreciate it so much. Okay, let's talk about Alice Alvey. She is on vacation, but she sent us a recording to play, which I'm going to do. But I just want to – she's off, by the way, having vacation, celebrating her, I believe, 38th year anniversary to Andy. Andy, her husband, and there's Andy Jr. who does the work on our radio program, the intros and outros that we like. But anyway, congratulations to them. He is out. Andy Sr., her husband, is out fishing this morning, and so she took some time to record these notes. So anyway, I think she should be doing her enjoying her honeymoon and her wedding anniversary and not recording notes. But she did, and we're going to play them. Here they are.
Hi, Dave. This is Alice broadcasting to you from Seneca Lake in beautiful western New York State. I'm sorry I can't be there with you live, folks, today, but I did want to make sure I had a chance to make sure you are thinking about our regulations that are coming up. At least we don't have Congress in session right now. We've got many weeks before they get back on the roll again and start focusing on where we might be at with Fannie and Freddie and so forth. But what I need to make sure that you're thinking about today is your implementation plan for the new regulations in 2014. We have a lot that is going to be happening on a very operational level, and your project managers in charge of getting these new regulations up to speed have to be on task at this point for identifying operationally exactly what fields and manual data entry portions are going to have to go into effect very soon here. I know you've attended a lot of seminars with attorneys. One of the things that's different about our training and our products is we focus on that very operational level at the grassroots front line with your staff. And so, for example, can your loan origination system actually identify all the criteria for a covered transaction under a qualified mortgage? Right? That's a different definition. We have high-priced mortgage loans, we have high-cost loans, and now we have covered transactions. Well, one of the examples is in a risky to stable product, a customer moving from a risky loan to a stable loan is exempt from QM. Do you have systems in place to identify that? Right now, I think we're feeling, hey, most of my stuff's Fannie Freddie. Most of it's exempt anyway, Fannie Freddie or FHA. So how much do I have to worry about this right now? Well, you've got to have the procedures in place. You've got to make sure you know exactly what your loan origination system's going to be able to identify. So that risky to stable is an example that comes to my mind that no loan origination system is necessarily going to analyze the product the borrower is currently on to the product that you're filling in their system. That's going to have to be a manual step. Who's responsible for catching it? Is that happening all the way at the point of origination, or is that going to be waiting and happening somewhere in the point of underwriting? Just one example of the many things procedurally that you want to make sure you're thinking about. If you need help with this, we're happy to help you walk through each one of the steps, help you make decisions on where things should absolutely be put in place operationally. So be prepared for that covered transactions and the things your loan origination system can't provide. Now, a lot of the providers are great. They've they're on task, they're going to have their systems really protecting you in a lot of ways. You need to be able to say, by October 1st originations, I am now testing this operationally. If you wait and say November 1st, you're really going to be behind the curve, because that's only going to give you 30 days of testing and then another 30 days to try and work out the problems. You've really lost a 30-day retesting window if you're waiting until December to try and solve your problems. So get in there, know what exactly your origination software provider is planning, what they already have in place, and start building those steps operationally. And like I said, we're happy to help you with any of those concerns as you try and get this rolling. That's what our Health Check product is all about. So, Dave, that's my report for today. I look forward to being live with you next week. Have a great week, everyone.
And we hope, Alice, you take some time to just enjoy some time. They're out there fishing. Her husband is a really avid fisherman. And she sits out there, and I there's so many great stories about couples that one likes to fish or one likes to play the golf. Hey, by the way, I got to make one quick question. Andy reminded me, Andy Shell actually picked out the music. Andy Alvey mixed it in and made it all, you know, made the thing work the way it does. But it's actually the music selection is that of Andy Shell. So thanks, Andy, for correcting me on that. Appreciate it. All right, well, folks, we'll be right back after this brief break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals
providing classroom and web-based delivery
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees both live and online on everything from application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now here's David Lickin.
Good to have you back, everybody. Let's talk about what's going on in the world of, well, everything that isn't covered and everything that it really has to do with profit, bottom line stuff. We got the profit doctor with us. I always love having the profit doctor bring us unique perspective on what's happening. Normally, we'd also have Paul Mallow and Tony Garitano. They are really busy right now, a lot going on, but we miss having them. And wait a minute, Paul, is that you here? Let's double check to see if Paul Mallow's here to get a quick update. Paul, is that you? I thought we might have Paul Mallow there, but I guess not. Anyway, so anyway, Paul is touching base with me, and, well, there's a note. Anyway, sorry about that. We've got Andy Shell, though. Prophet Doctor is here with us. So, Prophet Doctor.
Hi, Dave.
I'm Switcher. You know me.
Nothing like live radio, you know?
Live radio. Yep. Good.
And you're the guest, you're the host. And the producer all in one. You're pushing the buttons and answering the calls and screening the calls and reading the tweets while you speak. That's the ultimate of multitasking.
Yeah, well, that probably explains why there's some muffs along the way. But yeah, appreciate that. I love the music you picked, by the way. So what do you're always helping people, you know, businesses go better and more smoothly and have a better, stronger bottom line. What you got for us this week?
Well, I got a couple. This is just a kind of a random thoughts kind of morning, and so I wanted to point out a couple of quick things. And you know, we're going to have Reed on in just a few minutes to talk about some of the CFPB issues and opportunities. And it's kind of like I wanted to draw just a real quick analogy for folks about dealing with the CFPB, and in no way stealing the thunder of what Reed's going to talk about. The CFPB is kind of like, if you think of the old TV show, A Father Knows Best, you know, father comes in and sits down and chats and always has these incredibly wise things to do. And then later on we had Roseanne, which was a single mom who had bits of wisdom. Well, she wasn't single, but a mom, an aggressive, abrasive mom who was kind of always had interesting insights. And so what you have to do when you're dealing with people who are in power, positions of authority, like a very respectable father knows best, or maybe potentially, depending on your perspective, a little bit less respectable Roseanne, you have to deal with them, whether you like it or not, from a position of they're in power, you're not. they're right, you're wrong, even when you're right. And the only way to get through it is to say, yes, sir, thank you very much. May I have another? And so we're going to get more into dealing with the CFPB, but there's going to be a lot of rules. We're talking more about vendor management, service level agreement validation, third party service provider management, which is a show that Alice and I are going to do soon. And in that, we're going to talk about the things that you have to do in managing your vendors. Now, some of these may seem idiotic that you're supposed to, according to the CFPB, get financial statements from the company that performs your janitorial services. But we're going to talk about the whys and the what fors and how to do it and how to respond to examiners when they do ask the questions, because our reports, the reports that we prepare for customers, is designed to answer all the questions, have immediate credibility, and make it so the CFPB folks just do what we want them to do, which is check the box, move on, don't ask any more questions, because that's really what we want to try to accomplish with these exams. Now, another quick side note, Dave, I wanted to make about just the regulatory environment we're in, and in some of it makes sense and some of it doesn't make sense. We were just talking, Alice was just talking about some of the new requirements we have, and this relates back to borrower benefit. And the point I wanted to make is that a long time ago I used to sell life insurance, and on occasion I'd replace a whole life policy with a term policy and then create a fund for a mutual fund investment. And whenever we did that, we had to fill out this form that we sent in with our policy to store with the insurance documents for when the insurance company was audited, that demonstrated to the customer and the regulators that the insurance replacement, the changing of the insurance policy from one policy to another, was to the benefit of the customer. You actually had to fill out a form to do that. And some of that is what we're going to see, I think, coming in to mortgage banking. Now, one of the challenges we're going to face in doing that is, let's say we've got a customer who's in a fixed rate and needs to lower their payment now. Now, you assume that they're in a 4% fixed rate anyway. I mean, how much lower can it go? But let's say they're in a 7 or 8% fixed rate and they really want to get it down, and currently fixed are in 4s or 5s. And we've got an ARM product to get them down to 2. And they go, I want that really low rate.
All right.
So you put them in that 2% ARM. Well, if you're listening to MBS Quoteline and paying attention to Joe Farr, you'll know that rates are down now, but they won't always be. And so when they go back up again and suddenly rates are at 12 and that ARM is at 10, and they're going, wait a second, I was at a fixed rate of 8 and now I'm in an ARM of 12. Why did you do this to me, mortgage lender? I'm going to sue you for putting me in a bad product. So how can doing the right thing for them for the next 12 months be the wrong thing for them in 36 months? Well, we've got to be able to demonstrate that. We've got to be able to track that, document it, report it, and explain when the customer comes and raises these complaints. Because you know what it takes for a customer to file a complaint with a CFPB? You know, a phone call or a website. That's it. They can file a complaint with a CFPB seamlessly. It's almost like it doesn't even matter. But then what happens when we have to defend it? We have to have the documentation in the file that explained why we did that product change. It's like an insurance replacement. There's a new sheriff in town. You're going to have to deal with him whether you like it or not, whether if you like the father's knows best analogy or the Roseanne analogy. Either way you look at it, we're going to be sitting across from CFPB examiners who very likely know much less about the business than you do, and you have to treat them with respect because they represent the government, and you have to be kind of respectful and give them what they ask for and ask them to help you understand their perspective. But anyway, we're going to get into that really fun part with Reed here coming up soon about the CFPB.
There's so much to talk about that, and we're going to have a lot of time to get into it. And I'm really looking forward to that broadcast. Again, I had a chance, Andy, to talk to Reed at one of the other conferences and really enjoyed the conversation. In fact, there was so much in that conversation. I can't wait for our listeners to get it. But thank you for adding your perspective. Appreciate it so much.
My pleasure, Dave.
Always fun. I get so many comments about the Profit Doctor, folks, when I'm traveling around the country and go, that guy is really smart. Yeah, no kidding. Why do you think I partnered with him? Anyway, I'm a fool. Anyway, good to have you with us, listeners. Stay tuned. We've got Reed Smeda coming up right after the break. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of this broadcast. Right back. Stay tuned.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success,
Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging,
financial and accounting services,
or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Good to have you back, folks. We got Reed Spada coming to you live from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Just a little bit cooler up there. Yes, Andy.
Hey, sorry about that. Can I interject just real quickly before you finish the introduction to Reed? I wanted to comment that we've been fortunate to have Lincoln on Lending grow as much as it has over the past 5 years. And I wanted to throw out a thank you. You did it earlier. I was just listening to that ad on MBS, and that voice in the background and all those sound effects and the flow and all of that was done by Andy Alley. And it's just an exceptional ad. All the ads you hear on the Lickin' on Lending radio show were done by Andy Alley. I'm a music guy, and so I picked the tunes. But Andy did the mixing and did that ad that just played, and it's a great ad. He did a great job. So kudos to Andy Alvey. Lickin' on Lending is coming around 5 years.
Okay, hard to believe. And it's also, we get so many comments about the quality of the broadcast and the content, and we really appreciate you listeners. Also, it's a good opportunity if you want to advertise on the radio. We love to have advertisers. We're expanding the website. Give me a call at 512-501-2810. 512-501-2810 if you're interested in advertising. We'd love to have you as an advertiser, and we're creating room for more advertisers, and they are stacking up to come in. All right, let's get back to the center ring today of this circus, of this radio show. It's not a circus, it's a radio show, and it's Reed Spada, who is president of Compliance Systems in Grand Rapids, Michigan. He has a 20-year career of banking experience and has served in senior roles as an attorney, a lender, a business leader for the national and international financial institutions. CSI is a highly respected provider of best-in-class financial transaction technology and expertise. Not only that, he's one smart guy, and I really have enjoyed my conversations. Reed, good to have you on the radio broadcast.
Thanks.
I want to make sure you hear it. Well, it is. It's a real honor to have you. Go ahead.
I'm just going to say thanks, and it's an honor to be here.
Well, you know, there's a lot of people say, Dave, why do you talk over your guests? There's always this little delay when you're dealing with voice over IP and all the technology. And so, folks, I'm not being rude to Reed. I'm just trying to get in there and keep things moving, so apologize. There's just these delays, and we just inadvertently talk over each other different times. Reed, I really want to start off by getting into what you have been most known for, and have a unique perspective that you have, your unique perspective on CFPB. Please share it with our listeners because it is unique. Most people are running around in fear, and you've taken a different approach. Tell us about it.
Sure. A lot has been said, and rightly so, about the coming wave of regulatory changes in light of the statutory changes with Dodd-Frank. And certainly all of that is true. Now, it's not the piece of it that we can control. I've been around since the days of FIREA and Fiducia, back when the RTC still existed because of the S&L crisis. I hope that was enough acronyms for everyone. and I think there is a substantial difference since then. The type of intrusion into a lender's or financial institution's world, it is deeper and different than it was at that time. But we've been through storms of huge tidal waves of statutory and regulatory changes. We can't control that at this moment in time. What we can control is how we react and respond, and part of that is through our relationships And the CFPB has indicated a lot about themselves in just the two-something years they've been in existence. And it's our position that the best thing to do is figure out who you're in this long-term relationship, identify what the keys to those relationships are. That's what you can control.
It is really interesting we get into it. Andy, go ahead.
I was going to say, Reed, there's so much to what you just said. There's so much the how to accomplish that, I think, is really the key. And how that starts is, a relationship. So what are the keys to having a successful relationship with the CFPB? And I guess to start with, the first part of that is that sort of implies that it's possible. So is it possible to have a successful relationship with the CFPB? And assuming that it is possible, how do you go about doing that?
Yeah, good questions. And I think part of the personality that we're seeing emerge from the CFPB does include the fact that it wants to take a lead in the relationship. It certainly does want to, maybe a lack of a better way of characterizing it, is be an alpha when it comes to the ongoing relationship. But some other parts of their personality that we also know they're focused on the consumer. They're inquisitive. They want to learn more. It's a learning organization. It's obsessed with data. And this is the part that somewhat oftentimes comes across with sort of raised eyebrows of doubt from the people hearing it, but is teamwork. So we can go into each of those aspects of their personality if you'd like, but the first part is to the how, I think, is a lack of a better way of saying it, is to mimic them. When you're in a relationship with someone or beginning and you're on that first date, you try to identify what it is that's going to cause you to connect. And I think if we look at these four areas, it'll help us figure out how to connect. That connection is the key component to developing a relationship.
Hey, this is Joe. Do you have a sense of what's the priority in all this? What are the which of these elements should you be most focused on?
Yeah, the good question. The consumer focus is really the key. I think that it's inquisitiveness, it's data obsession, and even we'll talk about its teamwork, really are just in some ways components of its consumer focus. And in that area, it is a little bit scary because they've demonstrated through their involving themselves in Friends of the Court or amicus briefs. If you go to their webpage, they have literally a section called whistleblowers where you can report if you think there's a violation of federal law at your financial institution.
There's used a couple legal terms in there, and I want to just kind of get clarity on those for our non-legal people in the audience. You talked about filing in a particular, and I missed the exact terminology. If you could expand on that so we keep our listeners synced up and on what you mean by some of these things. And then whistleblowers, it's consumer focused, got that, but
Yeah.
Whistleblowers and consumer? Oh, help us.
Yeah. The Friends of the Court brief started, really they began soliciting from consumers, from the customers of our financial institutions, the times where they would like the CFPB to file a brief, file an opinion in a lawsuit against a financial institution. So Betty and Bill Borrower have a lawsuit against a bank for violation of a Consumer Protection Act or requirement. The CFPB, beginning a year or so ago, said, you know, we're soliciting people like Bill and Betty Borrower to invite us to file an opinion with the court saying, yes, we as the CFPB believe that this was a violation. This is how we interpret the statutes and regulations, and this is why. they've involved themselves in about a dozen lawsuits since that time, and their opinion has prevailed in almost 50% of those instances. So that's where the friend of the court filing in going back to the late 80s, I don't recall of an examiner involving themselves by actively soliciting people to invite them into their lawsuit.
Yeah.
Rita, back to that 50% mark, I would have thought it'd be 100%. Are they overstepping their own regulations when they file that brief in some cases?
That's a good question. I certainly don't think the CFPB would characterize it as overstepping, and my sense would be it's a 50% isn't bad in terms of their opinion. I would think the fact that they can involve themselves, and when you have something that's highly litigated, I mean, you've gotten to the point where a borrower or a deposit holder is suing a financial institution, and this we're already in a area of uncertainty. And so just by asking, can we become involved, to have helped lever that into 50% success, I think they'd probably view that glass as half full versus half empty.
That's interesting. Let me ask a question. When you file something as a friend of a court, does that mean is the implication that they're enemies to the industry? I mean, the whistleblowing would apply that, but your whole focus is saying that's not the case here, that you found a way to work through that. So I can't wait to maybe this is what you got down the road a little bit, but fascinating.
One of the quotes is to the friend of the court program is they want it to be, quote unquote, to provide fulsome information and analysis. I think that so going back, I suppose some of this is interpreting beyond just the specific actions and see what they're really trying to achieve. And so when you look at just the consumer focus, or you look at just the inquisitiveness or data obsession, if we were to say they're data obsessed and say that in a vacuum, it wouldn't tell us much. But I think when we take the consumer focus and then apply in these other contexts, to me, an image of a person develops. And not just the corporation, but the people within it, and then that makes up the person. To me, you have really capable people hired from some of the best schools. You know, I've heard it 25, 25, 25, working 25 hours a day, 25 years old, and being paid $25,000 a year. Well, that's obviously just a cliche way of putting it, but I think you have really intelligent, passionate, hardworking people with very little real-world experience. So I think part of these...
I mean, you're saying working inside of CFPB?
Yes.
Yeah.
And so I think when you take that, you say, okay, well, that feeds into their inquisitiveness, and it feeds into their data obsession. That's how the world is now, is everything is about the data. And so when they take that and say, okay, well, we want, whether you called it, and we'll come back to whistleblower in a minute. I think that's an important thing to come back to. When you take that, you take it along with the world is data, and then you take it that they just want to learn. It's a learning organization. And their mandate is consumer-focused. I don't know that there's a prosecutor's desire to win in all of these lawsuits, but I think it's a passionate group of people's desire to adamantly protect consumers' rights, and it comes off as overly zealous. When you think back to when they first launched their webpage, it literally looked like, if you all recall that, it looked like a bat light in the sky, and it was a badge. And it had a spotlight coming up to it. In the middle, it said the Bureau. And it did not take them long. It took them maybe weeks to come up with the much more consumer-friendly looking page we have, because they're a learning organization. I think that
yes.
when we get to and some of their hotlines and how they're positioning themselves, I think they'll come around and say, yeah, that's not quite what we're asking for. What we're asking for is let's be the best, most zealous advocates we can to protect consumers' rights. Where I think it becomes challenging and for those for financial institutions, it's important. And Dave, I've heard you talk about just the absolute need in our industry for leaders. And
right.
The CFPB is going to take that lead if we don't step up and take that lead.
Oh,
as
great point.
Institutions. And if we let them lead entirely, as is their way, with what they want us to focus on from a consumer perspective, what they want to learn and how they learn it, and what data and how they get to the data, and they take the lead on that, then I think we have a problem. If we recognize that's where they want to go, and we're the ones who have 20 and 30 years of experience, and then those who work for us, we
right.
should be stepping in and saying, those are great personality traits. Now let us help you channel that in a way
yes,
that's
yes,
more productive.
Yes, yes. Boy, I wish the only thing with the audio broadcast versus the print is we can't highlight bold, Helvetica bold, you know, the comments.
Yeah.
Folks, what you just said, Richard, I want to underscore, highlight, bold in everyone's mind. Bookmark is another term we can use. What you just said, they have inquisitive people. The data session, are they here to just put us the industry out of business? No. In fact, they came back and said that they think they may have overreached and overstepped on some things. That wasn't their intent. And I think they're trying to come back to a balance on that. I think the lender that got sued there in Salt Lake in Utah might argue that that's not the case. But the reality is that that's what they're doing. Another key point, data point, two other data points I want to make, and then get your thoughts on these two data points, and I'm going to toss it over to Andy. Two other data points is that they are – we are all covered people. Anyone doing consumer finance is considered covered persons. And that's a term that's clearly spelled out. And so you say, well, I'm not at risk, and I don't have to worry about this as a listener because I work for the company. I'm not the company. The owner has to worry about it. No, that is not true. If you are a covered person, and that can come back and impact you. So your actions, your data input, your whole attitude towards the consumer will come back and can bite you. And I forgot my other point in making that one, so comment on that one. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, the everyone within a financial institution at this point, or anyone, the breadth of the consumer protections it's a long arm of the law. I think that people within various parts of the industry all have an opportunity to identify what's going to be next and to get ahead of it. I think if we view ourselves as all within the scope of it and that scares us, that's one reaction. If we view we're all within the scope of this and this is how I'm going to turn over every stone and find everything I can and take the lead on
right.
this, I just think it comes back to leadership and feeling half full versus half empty,
yep.
and say what
yep.
opportunities does this create within an institution? That's how I choose to view that.
Andy?
Well, there's just so many questions that are rattling around in my head, and I'm still have the visual of the Batman. Image of the being broadcast on the clouds with the Bureau and what that means about them and what that means to us. And I do want to get into talking more about what you think some of the future is going to be as we continue to have some of these discoveries by the CFPB. But I also wanted to get your quick thoughts on the CFPB's view of the mortgage banker. And I raise this because having been in a regulated environment with commercial banks and dealing with OCC, FDIC, and
question.
State examiners for 30 years, there was a sense by some of the examiners that well, we're the greedy bankers. We're always wrong. We're always trying to screw the consumer. We always want to get more. We want to charge more, gouge the consumer more, and disregard regulations as much as possible, and just hope we don't get caught. And while that is sometimes true, it is rarely true. But yeah. So what is the, inside the mind of the CFPB examiner, if you've been dealing with them, how do they view the mortgage banker was my first question. And then curious to then, as we move on into this, what kind of CFPB discoveries are you seeing?
Yeah, I hesitantly admit that one of the things that I spend quite a bit of time doing in the evenings once kids are in bed is watch C-SPAN. And I'm fascinated by the inner workings. You always have since I was a teenager, back when that was the only thing still on before the TV's all, channels all shut off at 2 in the morning. And in looking, in watching those proceedings from the early days of this market upheaval to now, I believe that the CFPB and other examiners, I won't speak for members of Congress because that's a little bit more of a mixed bag, truly believe that it was major problems caused by abuses by fewer than many. And I think that still means that we have a sledgehammer solution for something that may have required a ball-peen hammer. So, but again, that's unfortunately not surprising and not unprecedented. So I do believe that they think that it's the fewer versus the many. They do consider it to have been abuses versus the norm. These are my observations. And yet it appears that the Dodd-Frank, again, which is statutory, beyond their control, is something they were given. They were given it by Congress as a knee-jerk reaction to a market upheaval, which we'd seen before. And the CFPB has been charged with the mandate of implementing this stunningly broad and likely overreaching statute. And if we want it to change, call your congressman. But calling up Mr. Cordray isn't going to change the underlying statute with which he's obligated to enforce.
Yeah, and I think that's an important point.
Sorry, Andy. Yeah, absolutely. Andy, any other thoughts? And then I'll throw it to Joe. I got some more. Thank you so much. I've got his article. By the way, everybody, I'm referring to the article that's in the July 2013 Mortgage Banking Magazine that Reed wrote. It's excellent, excellent article. There's so many data points that I'd love to get to in this broadcast, but I really wanted to zero in on some of the things, you know, specifically some of the things Andy was just saying. So, Andy?
Well, I think Reed hit on some amazing points, and the article I think Dave you're referring to is in the July Mortgage Banker magazine, so
right.
I suggest people grab
get
that.
It.
But the people are people. Everybody gets up and puts their pants on one leg at a time. Whether if you work for the CFPB on your way to examine a mortgage company or a mortgage originator who's, you know, making $5 million a year, everybody gets out of bed and puts their pants on one leg at a time. And so we're still everybody's people, and there are motivators and drivers. And I think that dealing with some of the CFPB issues from a respect-based perspective, not the I'm better than you, I'm smarter than you, you're a stupid regulator, I'm a brilliant mortgage banker, that's going to be the wrong approach. And I think there's just some amazing insight that Reed's bringing out here, and how to address this, how to understand it, and how to survive it.
One thing that I just thought of is back in one of my past lives, I was leading our institution being examined by the FDIC at the time, and they had met morning after morning on this one topic, and I just didn't know how else it could be communicated. Just didn't know. Sat there for hours and hours, meeting after meeting. And finally, one morning, I come in, and at 8 a.m., the examiner's standing outside my...
Oops, did we... I think Reed? We lost...
Oh, there, whoop, we lost Reed. Reed, we got to have you dial back in if you're anyone's there and his staff listening.
Oh, no. It's a cliffhanger.
Oh, no.
I hate that when that happens.
I hate it when you're in the middle of a good story and go, and then this is what happened, and the lines go, there he's back.
The gentleman's
right,
standing
right
out in front of his office. He walks in and...
Yeah, I know. That just drives you crazy. Well, he's dialed back in, and we've got him here. So, Reed, now that you left and you're back, finish that story. You left us hanging.
Perfect timing. All right, can
perfect
you hear me now?
Timing.
Yeah,
you
the did. Examiner. Right. You walk in, the examiner's standing there, and...
Boy, I better have a good ending now. So the examiner walks in and says, Reed, this is the problem. And he literally pulls out a form. And he shows me a box, and the box is maybe 2 inches tall by 3 inches wide. And he says, the answer we're getting doesn't fit within the box. And I help me understand. No, literally, it doesn't fit within the box. And up until that morning, this is in Chicago, taking the train in, I'm thinking to myself, why are they being so difficult? For goodness sakes, we've answered it every which way we can. We didn't understand. We didn't seek first to understand where the examiner was coming from.
Wow.
And as ridiculous as it was, he had a box. Now, he should have told us that, but he had a box. He wasn't unhappy with our answer. He wasn't being difficult. He had a box. Now, that requires better communication and mutual understanding so that you can work together as opposed
great
to getting
story
grumpy with each other because you don't understand each other.
Boy, that's a great question. Joe, that's just too much common sense, Joe Farr.
Well, speaking of common sense, think about the similar purposes. Where mortgage bankers are here to provide great customer service. They live on referrals, repeat business. And if we're providing great customer service, shouldn't we be able to make the CFP be happy because that's their focus?
Yeah. I think, and that's where I think it's helping them with what data they should be obsessed with, helping them with their inquisitiveness, helping them learn. These are young people who probably have never opened up a checking account, let alone extended any process of a mortgage origination.
Yeah.
And
well, along those lines,
helping them understand what's important.
Yeah, do they measure happy customers? I mean, I know they measure how many complaints do you have filed against you, but do they measure happy customers? Do they have a way of saying, hey, you're doing a great job?
That's a good question, and I'm not aware of one. Good question. Because
well, the
right
reality
they,
is
you know,
Go ahead.
I was
going to say, the reality of their mandate by Dodd-Frank is to go fix a problem with the consumer. So they're starting by looking at what's wrong. It's understandable they go there. I think anyone, they're going to look for a good relationship. I've got your article here, friend. I want to read this one sentence that's here. It says, while the CFPB may not like long walks on the beach and candlelight dinners, it does have an extensive online profile, and we do know a fair bit about what makes it tick. So we're going to have to figure out a way to make this relationship work. And so I think it's incumbent upon us to do that. They're the police. I mean, you could go, man, that policeman's grumpy, but he's a policeman. He's in the area. Whether it's a badge or however they do it, we if they're into donuts, buy them donuts. Sorry for the policeman not listening. But the point of it is I think, and now really now, that with the time we got left, we got about 4 or 5 minutes left here, and I really want to zero in, a little less than that actually, I want to zero in on what are the constructive things the people listening to this broadcast can do to have that good relationship.
Yeah. I remember years ago someone saying to me, the worst thing that a manager can say to you is, I've been thinking about your business. The best thing is you can go to your manager and say, I've been thinking about my business. I think that leadership in the consumer focus.
The your versus mine.
And,
and
be the proactive one. I think be the leader and be proactive and don't have things found out about you. Now, this does get a little scary. I would be concerned about people just saying, hey, by the way, we found this. I wonder if this is a future class action. We must run and tell the CFPB. I'm not recommending that. But, but I do think being proactive and demonstrating leadership as to their four key areas of personality: consumer focus, inquisitiveness, data obsession, and their desire to reach out and their expressed desire and evidence of working out as a team. That's key. Be proactive.
Yeah.
Be inquisitive yourself. Be data obsessed yourself. Mimic their behaviors so that you can better link with their behaviors, but do it in a proactive and leading way as opposed to sitting back and waiting for it to be done to you.
Kate Berry wrote an article about the Utah lender when it was when the action was announced, and there was a lot of commentary within the industry. And it was, I think we had Mitch Kider on with Kate talking about that. I encourage people to go back to our website, look at Lending, and look at the featured article. It's still as featured as the broadcast because I think it's such an important one. One of the things that that Mitch Kider brought out in that article was he was a little surprised. It may have been on the pre-call. I'm not sure he actually said it in the broadcast, but he says he's a little surprised about some of the almost gloating kind of comments that how some people came across as, well, we don't have these problems because we're really working with them. I think I would like to get your perspective. Just because you're working closely with CFPB and you're reaching out, that doesn't insulate you from action. It's not some kind of inoculation from CFPB action. They're still going to do what their mandate is to do. But I think, is it reasonable to say that at least there'll probably be more dialogue in the process before action is taken? Is that a reasonable assumption, Reed?
I would hope so. I think that's my that's what I think the sum of this is don't let them just do something to you. Do it with them. If you're engaged in conversation, they still have this broad law that our Congress passed and imposed on all of us for them to enforce. But if they have a personal relationship, just like all of our life, if you have a personal relationship, it's easier to see eye to eye than miss the fact that you have a 2-inch by 3-inch box and you're going to get written up because you can't fit it in the box. Have a conversation about the box. It'll help you avoid
so
that
good.
Problem. It won't make the problem go away, but you'll deal with it more effectively.
Andy, you dealt with
that's
this.
A great point.
Your thoughts as we go to the door here and wrap up this broadcast, your thoughts on this, and any final questions for Reed? I come to you next, Joe.
Well, I think people should go read his article first off. I think he has some great insight that he's sharing with people. And, Joe mentioned, we do want to try to do our best to provide a valuable product to the consumer. But like in the case with Salt Lake City, even though if you believe that it's true, which I'm not sure I do, but if you believe that it's true, they were providing quality service to the customer. They were just overcharging them. So, it's from the CFPB perspective, just because we're doing a good job doesn't mean we're not breaking the law. So it's been my experience that you're guilty until proven innocent, and you have to cooperate and develop the relationships. I've seen examples of where an examiner kind of, when they were looking at something and kind of off, and I was talking to them and being respectful, and they're people. They really are people, and being friendly to them and respectful of them, you can get the nod sometimes that, you really need to go redo this one thing. Even though they can't tell you that, they can tell you that. So you only get there by having a relationship with them. So be kind, be respectful, and they're people too.
Joe?
I was thinking about the contract required on the janitorial service and the financial statements.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. And is that where you go with the inquisitive part? Did you put that with inquisitive and then put that one under the inquisitive category? Reed?
And under inquisitive, we also talk about just the inexperience. I think there's a level of inexperience there where, again, we have a sledgehammer for ball peen situations. I think that'll self-correct itself, but they went out with a broad net. I'm mixing metaphors here. I think that'll be pulled back. But, again, you have people who just don't understand fully all the dynamics. I don't think it's malintended, but it is overreaching.
No question about it. Folks, we've had as our special guest today Reed Smeda, who is the president of Compliance Systems, CSI, in Grand Rapids, Michigan. You can reach Reed by emailing him at rsmeda@compliancesystems.com. You can check out his website, www.compliancesystems.com.
Systems.com. Reed, thank you so much for taking time out and being with us. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you all.
So much. Andy and Joe, it's always just so interesting. Yeah, go ahead, Andy. You had some thoughts?
Well, I want to just clarify one point. And we'll get into this when we get into our discussion about third-party service providers, is that risk profile your vendors and come up with your risk mitigation strategies, you may be able to justify not getting financials for the janitor. But in the way that it's written, you have to do full due diligence, including financial statement assessment of any third-party service provider. So, but you can get around that by you have to define your procedures really, really well and establish risk buckets. Normally, you have 3 to 5 risk buckets. So we have to get into that later.
Yeah, we will, and we're going to get there. So much information. We got Tony Moss will be with us next Monday talking about the Euro Catalyst event and this America Catalyst event coming up. That's going to be fascinating. Also, be sure to check out the 5-Star Conference at the5star.com. It's coming up 8th through the 10th of September. Lots going on in the industry. Get out to these conferences. It's valuable. Folks, we appreciate you tuning in, being a part of the broadcast, and telling others about it. Have a great week, and look forward to talking to you next Monday. Same time, same place. Tell others. Be back then. Bye.
This has been Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lincoln of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.